Let's talk about the roles of tension, resistance, and objection in a sale. We'll get started by defining each of these terms. The interesting thing about these terms is that all three are intertwined in a recruiting transaction. Let's talk about each one specifically and how they relate. The first one is tension. Tension is a natural circumstance that's going to exist in a recruiting relationship. The reason why it's natural is because the recruiter is trying to get the applicant to do something they may have fears about doing. After all, joining the Air Force Reserve is a major career decision in someone's life. The other part of it is there's a certain amount of tension that's always going to be there because the applicant has some reservations about what the recruiter and the Air Force Reserve expects of them. You are never going to reduce tension to the point where it will extinguish itself. It needs to be there to a certain extent. Therefore, tension is a natural state of the relationship. The second term is resistance. This is the reluctance on the part of the applicant to make a decision to commit or to move to the next processing step. Now, resistance, in many cases, is driven by a preconceived opinion an applicant may have about a recruiter or the Air Force Reserve. It could be driven by past experience, or perhaps even an experience with a recruiter from another branch of service. It could be driven by the fact that the recruiter doesn't establish trust. It could be caused by the recruiter not coming across as competent or confident. So resistance is going to be fueled, in many cases, by the recruiter. The most resistant person is usually the recruiter, because of the image they have of themselves. Do they believe in the Air Force Reserve opportunity? Do they believe the benefits are worth the commitment a person makes when they join? Do they have confidence the Air Force Reserve will deliver on all its promises? Resistance is going to be a two-way street, and it will likely be encountered with tension. The third term is objection. The objection is nothing more than a symptom of the level of tension and resistance that's present. That's much different from what recruiters have heard in the past. You may have heard this over the years. An objection is a sign of interest. No, it's a sign of too much tension or resistance. When you get an objection, it's usually a manifestation of something else that's happened in the sales process. You must understand how to deal with objections if you're going to be a successful recruiter. The best way to deal with an objection is to ask a question about the objection before it ever comes up. Then be in a position to isolate that objection, making sure it's the only one, then go ahead and deal with it. Never forget that tension, resistance, and objections are always going to be present. The objection is nothing more than a symptom of the level of tension and resistance that's occurring between the recruiter and the applicant. Objections are reduced earlier in the questioning step, but they're significantly reduced by pre-call planning. If you're aware of what's going on with your applicant, then you will know the following: their previous experience, if any, with the military, who else is involved in their decision-making process, who the competition is, what caused them to agree to see you in the first place, what problems they want solved or needs fulfilled, and how quickly they're interested in taking action. When you have this information, you're in a much better position to move with a certain amount of confidence, and when you have that confidence, the tension level tends to drop. The thing you have to watch is that you don't become overly confident or come across as too arrogant, in which case the tension and resistance levels will elevate. Objections can usually be extinguished through proper pre-call planning and properly building trust by asking the right questions. One of the things recruiters often ask is, what are some of the ways applicants exhibit resistance? Here are three specific ways applicants exhibit resistance. The first is silence. An example would be if you say something to the applicant and there's absolutely no response. What they're saying to you is, okay, what are you going to do next? Most recruiters will start talking, which is the worst thing they can do because they dig themselves into a hole. You may remember the concept of selling that says, answer a question with a question, which brings us to the next concept. Answer silence with a question. If the applicant is silent, then ask a question. Don't answer silence with rhetoric. Ask them a question to draw them out of that silent mode. That is the best way to handle silence, which is a form of resistance. Another method by which resistance is shown is what's called deferral. If your applicant says, I'm not in a position to make this decision right now. This would be an example of a deferral. The mistake here is you didn't know what their decision-making process was before you set up the face-to-face appointment. For example, did you ask whether or not the applicant was married, had a significant other, or still lived with their parents during the investigative step? If you had, you might expect someone else is likely involved in the decision-making process, and you need to know what their role and feelings are. If you know what the right process is, and the applicant is showing resistance by deferral, you know this is not, in fact, the case. How would you handle that one? What you want to do is align with that person in a way that you can go ahead and interface with the person to whom they have deferred, and you want to do that together. Here's an example of this. Your applicant says, "Okay, I'm going to need to talk to my wife, my parents, my boss, or whomever the case, so I'll have to get back with you." Now you reply with something such as, "I can understand that they care about you very much, and I'm sure they're involved with this decision. Let me ask you this. Is there a way that perhaps the two of us could sit down together with these people?" By addressing it this way, you're going to find out if this is really the case, and you're never going to allow someone else to make your presentation for you. So the first is silence, the second is deferral, and the third is the symptom we talked about, which is the objection. Let's talk about the objection and how you handle it. The first thing you want to do is isolate the objection and make sure it's the only objection. If your applicant objects, "The technical training school is too long," you reply with, "Let me ask you this. Is there anything else other than the length of the school that would cause you not to be able to join the Air Force Reserve?" By approaching it this way, you're finding out if that school length is, in fact, the only reason the applicant won't commit. If you isolate it and find out it's the only reason, then you can work with that objection. If that's not the case, you're going to have to dig deeper to find the other objections. You have to revert back to the probe step and have to ask more questions. When you feel like you've answered the applicant's concerns thoroughly, you can go back in and present your recruiting opportunity in a reconfigured way that will overcome the resistance and the tension. The three of these terms are totally and completely intertwined. Remember, an objection is an indicator of the level of tension or resistance. Work hard to reduce those levels, and you'll be a successful recruiter.